Good morning and a cheerful greeting to all the listeners of the broadcast. I'm so happy to be coming your way again with the good news of salvation. It is not the will of God that any be lost, but that all should come to repentance. And I want to discuss this being a real possibility right here in this present world. It was here that man disobeyed God and fell into sin. It was here that Christ came to bear the sins of many and died on the cross. And it is to the inhabitants of this world that salvation has been brought down. More on that right after this. My treasure, I have a very precious gift presented by a loving friend. Its equal you would scarcely find if all around the world you send. A gem so beautiful and rare, I'm sure I could not tell its worth. No diadem so rich e'er crowned a king or prince of royal birth. Most wonderful 'tis to relate what this great gift has done for me. It makes me happy all the day. My life is like the tranquil sea, so full of peace, of love, and joy. I'm satisfied and all content. My cares and sorrows all have fled since this sweet gift to me was sent. In poverty I once was bound, but now I'm richer than a king. The wealth of nations could not give, nor to my heart such pleasure bring. In filthy garments once was clad, my clothing tattered, worn, and old. But now I'm dressed in snowy white, in garments wrought with purest gold. In sickness 'tis a healing balm that drives each ache and pain away. It sweetens all the toil of life and brings good cheer to every day. For all the riches of the world, I would not from my treasure part. 'Tis hidden in a place secure. I keep it locked within my heart. You ask me what this treasure is that to my life such blessings gives. The joy and comfort of my soul that keeps me sweet and in me lives. It is the greatest of all gifts that God could give to anyone. The brightest gem of heaven above. 'Tis Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Now, more on this plan of salvation. Jesus himself declared, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost," Luke 19:10. So from where did he come? From heaven. And to where did he go? To the planet where sin had been committed. For what purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost. Then how dare say some that his mission was a failure and one can never know they're saved while on this earth they dwell. The Apostle Paul affirms that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Peter declares that God hath exalted Christ to be a prince and a savior. Acts 5:31. And according to Hebrews 7:25, he is still able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Therefore, I would say that salvation must be a present possibility. Let me illustrate it this way. A good friend of mine was in the tractor tire business. He was stationed at a place of business where he could be reached by phone, but much of his work was done in the farmer's fields where the trouble was. He was at the call of the farmer, and what a friend he was. After all, what farmer wants to unmount and load a heavy tire and wheel to take it to some faraway place where this dealer sits in his air-conditioned business? Who cannot do the job until he orders and receives the particular tire or the employee returns from his vacation? Or perhaps he doesn't even handle the supplies this particular farmer has need for. With hay to cut and bale, with wheat to sow, cultivate and harvest, this farmer wants a man who can come to the field where the tractor is, assess the needs, and do the work. He doesn't want a bureaucratic committee to make a report and then discover that his tires are worn out and will not really do the work anymore, and he will have to wait until others are ordered from the factory, which may take 6 months. Think of the frustration with the rains coming and the harvest going to waste. The farmer wants that tractor back in use in the least possible time. In short, he wants his tires fixed in the field, on the job, so his work can be done soon. So, I don't believe it will be hard for you to see why my friend was in such great demand, because he went to the fields, repaired the tires on the spot, or replaced them, and soon the farmer was singing his happy song. Now, back to this present salvation. It is great because it accomplishes so much. We read in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In fact, the fact that men can neglect the great salvation of Jesus proves that it is obtainable and can be had. So, if it is obtainable, then it is a present possibility. The Bible throughout speaks of salvation brought to men on this earth. When the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" quickly the answer was given, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Acts 16:30-31. And Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Romans 1:16. And again, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:9. To the Corinthians he declared that it had pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. And in language still more emphatic, he declares, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6:2. This last text shows that this great salvation belongs in some special manner to the present dispensation of divine grace. Many people are being deceived by Satan into believing the fatal lie that in some way or other they can obtain salvation in a future age. May God help every honest soul to see that salvation must be obtained now or never. But perhaps the greatest proof that salvation is a present possibility is the fact that some have already obtained it. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the Apostle Paul affirms that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Peter writes to certain brethren to this effect, "Ye have received the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." 1 Peter 1:9. In Titus 3:5, Paul refers to the work of grace in the heart in this way: "According to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Here's one more scripture showing salvation can be had in this present life. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. One of the most effective ways to help open the eyes of one blinded by sin is for them to see the results of this work of grace manifest in the life and actions of another who is really born again. But the question invariably arises as to what salvation really means. What does the term signify? Well, its literal meaning is deliverance. So its spiritual significance would be deliverance from sin. This is what Jesus came into the world to do, save his people from their sins. Jesus is like my friend going to the field to work on tires. He came right where the trouble was, where the sin was committed, corrected the problem for man, and set him going again, singing his happy song. There is no plan for future redemption in heaven. That is a place where the redeemed will gather to praise their Savior while the countless ages of eternity will roll on. The Word of God is so very plain, and yet so many misunderstand its teaching on this point. It is the happy privilege of every guilty soul to receive at this very hour a free and perfect deliverance from all sin. While salvation consists of two definite works of grace, justification and sanctification, let me reserve the term sanctification or heart purity for another time. In the Scriptures, the first work of grace is described by different terms. as justification, conversion, new birth, and so forth, each of which conveys a certain special idea relative to the subject. I would like all the listeners and readers, however, to understand that all these terms being used now relate to but one work, the first work of grace. We're not justified at one time, converted at another time, receiving a new birth at another time, but these terms only express different aspects of the same work. Now, take justification, for instance. This is a legal aspect. It means to be absolved of guilt. Because Christ took our guilt, we go free. There are many scriptures to substantiate this. Look at the term conversion, which means the art of being changed from one state to another. Bible conversion signifies a real change of heart and life. The term born again signifies a new life in Christ. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." This is fundamental and imperative. For without being born again, no man can be truly called a Christian. The thought presented here is that of bringing into existence a new life. Colossians 2:13 tells us, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Yet some folks teach that we will be born of God in the next life. In my opinion of the scriptures, I say this is a false assumption. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:9. Our Father, bless every listener, and may they honestly search the scriptures and know the truth which will set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say a hearty thank you to all who help us keep the messages going forth. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.